Government shutdowns may seem like a fact of life, but that wasn't always the case. And according to the Government Accountability Office, it doesn't have to be. Before 1980, government shutdowns, as we understand them now, did not exist. A GAO report from March of 1981 explains the decision that created them, the fallout from that decision, and a number of measures Congress could take to ensure they don't happen again. Our own David Thornton has been digging into this, and he joins me now. And David, I guess the distinction is between a shutdown and a lapse of funding, because lapses of funding, I think, go back to the 18th century. Tell us about this decision.
This was back during the Carter administration in the fall of 1980. It was looking like Congress wasn't going to pass spending bills in time for the beginning of the fiscal year 81. President Carter asked Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti to
look... That's a name from the past.
He asked him to look into whether an 1884 law permitted federal employees to work without appropriations. Now, that law was called the Anti-Deficiency Act. It was originally passed to prevent federal agencies from spending more money than Congress had appropriated.
And anti-deficiency goes way back.
Yeah, the late 1800s. Civiletti ruled that agencies that continued operations without appropriations were in violation of the Anti-Deficiency Act. And he said that the Justice Department would prosecute individuals that incurred obligations for their agencies. He said the agencies would need to begin shutting down as soon as appropriations lapsed.
Wow. So the Anti-Deficiency Act cited reasoning was that because people were working, you owed them money, and therefore you were obligating funds, I guess, and also for contracts that had not been appropriated.
Exactly. Exactly.
And criminal prosecution got the attention of agency heads in those days.
It did.
All right. And so before that Civiletti decision, how did they handle funding gaps?
The GAO report says between 1962 and 1981, there were 32 funding lapses for a total of 291 days. But agencies just continued to operate when this happened. It wasn't exactly business as usual. Federal employees didn't get paid. Entitlements like GI Bill checks and housing subsidies didn't go out. And no new business was started. But existing responsibilities were looked after. So, for example, there was no question whether or not the IRS would send out tax refunds like we're talking about now. National parks were staffed, so there were no issues with trash collection. Basically, this all hinged around Congress's intent. Agencies generally assumed that Congress didn't intend agencies to just shut down because it didn't pass appropriations on time. And this was supported by the fact that Congress usually included language in continuing resolutions that retroactively covered obligations incurred during funding lapses.
Activities continued, but somewhat different activities than continue now.
Right.
Because now all of the Social Security checks go out, and I guess initially the IRS said it would not be able to issue refunds, but now it's saying that it is. And so the shutdown idea really spread after Civiletti.
Yeah, exactly. This was something they had never seen before. The GAO report actually has a couple of great quotes in it. One of them was that never before had heads of agencies been required to seriously plan the tasks and identify the staff that would be needed to begin closing down an agency's activities. Faced with a drastic change in the status quo, federal officials felt compelled to take action to indicate compliance with the act, or at least to avoid giving the appearance that they were in violation of it. But the problem was that nobody knew what to do. So the Office of Management and Budget didn't release guidance until about 1 month before the last day of the fiscal year. And
again, we're talking back in 1980.
Yes. And a few agencies saw this, the guidance that they did release, as confusing and contradictory. For example, they were told that the shutdown would be temporary, but the OMB guidance said to inventory records and office supplies as though the agency was shutting down permanently. GAO interviewed 18 agencies after the fact, and it found that 13 had made plans, and some were specific about essential functions, personnel, how to shut down and how long it would take. Others less so. But they found 5 agencies that didn't have plans, or as GAO put it, were planning to plan. 3 of them, their strategy was to start figuring out how to shut down on the first day of lapsed appropriations.
Do we know which agencies were lacking in their planning?
So it didn't say which ones were the ones that were planning to plan, but the report did say that departments of defense and state both assumed that appropriations would be passed on time, and if not, that their departments would continue as normal due to national security considerations, basically that they wouldn't be affected at all, so they didn't need to plan. The report also says that a lot of these plans, even the ones that were in place, weren't necessarily official because heads of agencies hadn't signed off on them. And this is another one of those great quotes. It said, "The plans may have been delayed because if the plans had been deemed official, agency heads might have been expected to actually implement them." Nobody wanted to take the responsibility for implementing them, and A lot of people didn't even believe that this was going to happen. The report points to a general atmosphere of disbelief. It said, the common reaction of the agency officials we talked to was incredulity. That the federal government would shut its doors was, they said, incomprehensible, inconceivable, and unthinkable.
We're speaking with Federal News Network's David Thornton, and that's really quite a thought because back then there were no online services. You didn't access the government by computer. Nobody had computers. And so the government was brick and mortar and walk-in offices.
Right, and they had to literally shut their doors.
So at that time, the GAO stepped in and had some recommended solutions. I guess they've got a large body of knowledge on this whole topic.
Yes.
And what were its recommendations back then?
So there were a few. First off, and this is the one that GAO actually endorsed, Congress could permanently authorize agencies to incur obligations for continued operations. Now, this would essentially codify that pre-1980s dynamic. Agencies could continue existing responsibilities but conduct no new business. This ticked all the boxes that GAO used as a criteria for a good solution. It's long-term. It automatically applies during a funding gap. Congress keeps control of the appropriations, it covers all agencies and activities, and it's politically neutral.
In some ways, it really says that there's no difference functionally, then, between a lapse in appropriation and a continuing resolution.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
So there is a downside to it. Feds still wouldn't get paid, neither would contractors.
No, that's a big difference.
GI Bill disbursements and other entitlements wouldn't go out. Although it's worth noting that at the time of the report, GAO actually listed this as an advantage. They assumed that pressure from these groups would incentivize Congress to curtail politically sensitive debate and compromise on legislation. It's almost kind of cute in retrospect. So that was the plan that GAO endorsed. There were a few other options. They said that each house of Congress could pass rules requiring every appropriations bill to include language authorizing agencies to incur obligations during a funding gap. It would essentially have the same effect as the first option. It would just have to be renewed year after year. And GAO also said that this could invite legal challenges because there's a general sense that you don't include substantial legislation in appropriation bills.
It almost seems to bump up against what the founding fathers had in mind when they gave Congress the power to raise and appropriate funds.
Right, and that was a major concern that GAO had with some other potential options.
Which, of course, GAO is an agency of Congress. That's kind of interesting.
Right. They also said that they could potentially amend the Anti-Deficiency Act itself. Their main issue was this, was that they warned against tampering with the act itself when working within it was just as easy. The Anti-Deficiency Act at that point had stood for almost 100 years. They didn't want to mess with something that had stood the test of time in such a way when it was just as easy to work within the confines of the act. And one of their other solutions was that Congress could just pass a permanent continuing resolution, saying that in the absence of new appropriations, agencies would continue at the same level of funding as last year. And this is something we still hear about. Rand Paul has suggested this before, almost 40 years later. So they're still talking about it, but there hasn't been any action.
Fiscal cruise control. Federal News Network's David Thornton, thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you, Tom.
Check out his story and all of our ongoing coverage at federalnewsnetwork.com.